Welcome to the podcast Benzo Tired. I'm your host, Neftel Benesty, and I'm Dutch. Join me on my journey into the world of benzodiazepines, withdrawal, bind, and more. Disclaimer, always consult your physician for medical advice. This is episode 4, Elisabeth Kreitenberg, Taper Coach. And today, it's February 10th, 2023. Yesterday, I spoke with Elisabeth Kreitenberg, who is a taper coach in the Netherlands. In the description of the episode, you will find a link to her website. In this episode, Elisabeth shares with us her story on lorazepam, which is Ativan, and how she became a taper coach. Hi, Elisabeth.
Hi, Naftal. So nice to see you and to hear you.
Same. So could you share with the audience why you were prescribed a benzo and which one?
I was prescribed a benzo in December 2016 because I was suffering from tachyphylaxis, which is a poop out of an SSRI. So I started to have a really adverse response and feeling really ill, felt like I was going to explode. That was the words that I could use, like a balloon, as if you were bloated and something really bad is going to happen. And doctor came to my house because I made an emergency call. I said, this is really, really, really going bad. And this was my meeting with lorazepam, Ativan.
What dose did he initially prescribe you?
So he prescribed me, well, he gave me, now I'm wondering, he gave me a 2.5 milligram pill, and I wonder, like, do they really exist? So suddenly I'm starting to wonder, like, what was that? But I know that I put it in half, and I took it. Yeah, it must have been 2.5 milligrams, and I split it in two. I took it, and thank God I could sleep. I remember that was a Sunday morning. And I just sort of collapsed on the couch, just dozed off, and I was out.
Because you had not been sleeping?
I had not been sleeping for a couple of nights and being completely terrified of the whole process then. Because I was, because of the tachyphylaxis, they just suspected that my medication wasn't working properly. And they told me to updose. It's called citalopram. In Dutch, so it's the generic name for, I think, Celexa, but I'm not sure. But yeah, I was on 30 milligrams and they updosed me to 40 milligrams because they thought that would help. And I think I had one good day and then everything started to go haywire and I just started to suffer tremendously to the point that I couldn't bear it anymore. I remember going to my, so I was at my parents' house at the time to, because I was already so ill from this response to this antidepressant that I couldn't really take care of myself. And so I was with my parents and I remember, you know, I was like 40 almost maybe already, was I? Something like that. Like I was a real grown up, but I just sort of like crawled into my parents' room and I said, like, you have to call the doctor. I'm going insane. I can't bear this any longer. Like I'm gonna jump off the roof or we need to get help because this is not bearable.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you get prescribed the lorazepam or Ativan. How was your experience on that? Because you just said that you were finally able to sleep, but what happens next?
So what happens next is I go to a psychiatrist who is supposed to check with me what's going on. And she says, okay, it seems like this medication is no longer working for you and you are having a second depression episode. And, you know, I didn't understand. I told her, like, what do you mean, like a second? There's nothing going on in my life. I have no idea why I'm so ill. I feel fucked up, but I'm not really depressed. I'm just in panic search for what's going on in my body and what am I experiencing. I didn't understand. And so she said, well, I want you to quit this medication. We taper 10 milligrams every week So in 4 weeks you'll be off, and within 2 weeks,
Is the
yeah,
SSRI? What
an
drug? Okay, yeah.
SSRI. So if for anybody listening to this, don't follow that advice. This is not a good advice. It's very damaging to your nervous system. But I didn't know anything about that at the time. And so she said also that if I would reach 20 milligrams, I would be ready to just quit immediately and start venlafaxine. And this is Effexor as a brand name. And I was completely unaware of that. I didn't know what it was, but I started reading about it. I did look it up and I saw a lot of comments, people saying, oh, this is a terrible drug. You can never get off. If you forget one pill, you're immediately ill. And I thought, like, this doesn't sound good. This is not what I need. I was not depressed anyway. So why would I go on another antidepressant? I was ready to come off of the other antidepressant before, and I had no idea what was going on. So meanwhile, I'm on the lorazepam. Within a month, if I look back in my diary, I'm writing down that the afternoons are horrible and waking up in the morning is horrible. So I wake up in the morning, I took lorazepam, I took half a milligram then. So I was prescribed like 2 or 3 milligrams already, but I was taking half in the morning, and then I would wait until I went to sleep, sort of like at 10. In the evening, I would take half a milligram as well. And in between, around 4 or 5 o'clock, everything started to feel horrible. I'm starting like shaking a little bit inside. Also, like I get like sort of a probably it's something like an akathisia feeling inside that I don't know what to do anymore. I can't bear this. So after 4 weeks, I add half a milligram and I'm on 1.5 milligram until March. 3 months. And I just can feel that this is not going away. I have done hypnotherapy. I did RTMS. I tried acupuncture and Chinese medicine. I try everything. I'm in therapy also. Like I'm paying for everything myself. I did what they were my last bucks. And I just felt like, oh my God, I need to get myself out of this pit, because I didn't believe I was really having a depression, but I was still trying to do everything to get myself to a better place, and nothing worked. Absolutely nothing even made a dent in my awful experience of life. And so I went to the GP, I think in beginning of April or end March. And then I begged her. I said, like, I don't know what you're gonna give me or what you're gonna do, but just fix me because I can't bear this anymore.
So this would be
Then it's
2017.
2017. I'm on lorazepam for like 3 months, going into the fourth, and I start venlafaxine, which really almost kills me. But the doctors who looked at me, they said, yeah, I can see that you're really suffering. You know what? Just double your lorazepam intake. So from 1.5, they said like, oh, go to 3, because I told them like I'm on 1.5. I'm prescribed more, but I take 1.5, and they were like, yeah, okay, just take more. And I was very disappointed. I begged them there. I thought like, you know, admitting me to the hospital would be a good solution. So I was really saying like, can you not admit me? Like, can you not give me therapy every day and work with me and just do something positive for me, something to train me to deal with this in a better way? Or no, nothing like that. They also said like, no, you're fine. You're living with your parents. They seem like decent people. You're safe there. Nothing we can do that for you than this. Just take more Ativan and you'll be fine. So that was the solution. And I took half a milligram extra. So for another like 3, 4 weeks, I took 2 milligram instead of 1.5. So I was very determined not to go on too much, but I had no idea why, to be honest. If I look back, I don't know why I was even that strict with myself. I was suffering like crazy, but I would not allow myself to, you know, I just could keep my head just above water, and that was enough for me. I didn't allow myself to really float. I was just, yeah, barely hanging
Right,
on.
right. So what happens when do you get the aha moment that the benzos are causing your
issues. So that takes another 2 months because the Venla vaccine gets me out pretty quickly. I have 2 weeks to sort of get used to the first 37 and a half milligrams. This is the lowest dose available created by pharmaceuticals. So I started with 37 and a half, and the psychiatrist told me that this was not an effective dose. It was not possible that I was really feeling better and that I needed to go to 75. And so I was still like, I just, you know, since 2 weeks, I was seeing the world again with different eyes. And I just thought like, okay, as long as she says 75 is better, I will do that. So I went again through some sickness, and then I started to feel better again. And I immediately asked the psychiatrist then, like, can I now stop the lorazepam? And she said, yeah, that's okay. If that's what you want, that's fine. And I said, so how are we going to do that? And she just said, oh, you just take down a little bit and you just keep on doing that until it's gone. That was sort of the advice. That was all there was to it. And I went home and I just thought like, okay, so that half a milligram that I added is gonna go. And I reduced it immediately, half a milligram. So that was 25% of the dose I was on. And I had tremoring muscles and just very weak muscles. I remember like the morning that I got up after doing that, I felt like I had run a marathon. My legs were so weak. The moment that I wanted to tie my laces, my legs started to shake immediately as if it was overly used. And
so this is during the makeshift, you just finding your way and cutting whatever and see what happens.
I had absolutely no idea. I was just thinking, I had expectation of withdrawal because it was said that you could create dependency very easily. And I have no idea what dependency means, or, you know, some even use the word addiction that I hate to use. But I thought like, I'm not addicted at all. I just wanted to get off. I had no pleasure in taking this drug whatsoever. And I just wanted to stop. And so the withdrawal symptoms that I had, I didn't sleep so well. I had some weird rashes also. I remember that. I was not as relaxed and happy as before, but I thought like, okay, this was withdrawal. And 2 weeks later, I thought like, maybe I can do my next step because I felt like it was okay. And, you know, you have to keep in mind that this half a milligram that I dropped like that was the newest up dose for me. So I had only been on that part for just a couple of weeks. And this was the withdrawal that I already experienced from half a milligram. And the other ones I had used for like the 1.5 milligram was, I was completely dependent on that. So when I started taking that off, I did like a 0.25, I would say. Eyeballed that, you know, I had no idea. And I took that off and that threw me to the floor. Like I was punched in the stomach. I couldn't walk anymore. I couldn't see straight. I couldn't think. I felt I had diarrhea. I was throwing up. I went to the doctor, you know, and she said,
you also mentioned you're having like a month long period.
Yeah, the same. That was also the same thing. Yeah, my period started and wouldn't end. It was 20 days. And I asked the doctor, wow. You know, I went with the symptoms to the GP and she said, well, maybe you have a stomach flu. And I said like, but this is the weirdest thing. I've had stomach flu before in my life, but this is the weirdest thing ever. But she said, no, but it's, yeah, probably it's that. But of course, I also did not inform her. So I was in conversation with my psychiatrist about tapering the Ativan, and the general practitioner had no idea I was doing that. But I was also probably not really sharing that. And she wasn't asking about it either. So it was just not mentioned. Nobody had any idea. And I just kept on believing that, wow, you know, okay, I haven't been able to live for a long time. Maybe I catched a virus or a bacteria and whatever happened. I had no idea. And then
what happens next?
Yeah. So what happens next is the next 0.25 is coming up. I felt shitty, but I thought like, yeah, you know, you have to get through this and take it off. And that brought me back to day one of the month before. Again, I was completely crushed. I was like dead on the floor. And I had no idea still. But because of that moment, I thought this is the medication. This is when I, it was my aha moment. The click that, oh, you know
Okay.
what? I've seen these symptoms before, and it was exactly also the day after tapering this medication. And so I'm saying this medication, but let's call it stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean I've said it in previous episodes that us Dutchies, we have a different word for medications and drugs. When we say drugs in the Netherlands, we really mean street drugs. And but for the English language, it's different. But we just for Dutch, I would just call it drugs,
Drugs.
basically. Yeah. So at the moment that you link your symptoms with the benzodiazepines, is it at that point that you start Googling
That's my
or start
moment. Yeah,
informing yourself?
definitely. I start
Right.
Googling. I'm thinking I'm Googling lorazepam taper, but I have to tell you, I'm still Googling in Dutch, probably mostly.
Right.
So I do find a forum like a Benzo Buddies, but then the Dutch one, Benzo de Baas, and they talk also about the Ashton Manual. I'm not sure which information comes first, but pretty quickly I see that the LUMC, so that is a Universal Medical Center, has a special program for tapering benzodiazepines for 6 weeks.
Very quickly. Yes, I saw
Well,
it. Yeah.
what did I know? I called them. I wanted help.
Oh,
I
you
did.
did. Oh, okay.
But
I found it later, but so I was already kind of benzo wise. I found the Ashton Manual prior to that. I was like, you have got to be fucking kidding me that this exists. But okay, back to you.
yeah, so it's
Yeah.
so funny, you know, looking back, I can see the progress really going very quickly. Like within 2 weeks I'm educated, but before that I'm already crossing over to diazepam. So I read the Ashton Manual. I think I find the Ashton Manual pretty quickly, to be honest, and I read this and it's completely clear to me. I didn't read the taper plan, I didn't read why you have to go in this speed necessarily, but I had clear understanding of it. In general, I think I had a clear understanding. Yeah. I call my GP and I say, I found out what's wrong with me. I don't have a stomach flu. I have a problem with tapering the Ativan and I'm dependent on it and makes me really ill. And what I found out is that you have to cross me over to diazepam and then I'll be fine. So she says, okay, so how much? I said, I don't know. The Ashton Manual, I have a UK manual here, and it says that it's 1 to 10. So 10 diazepam would be good. But there is a hospital in the Netherlands. I see that they use 1 to 5. I don't know. I trust you. I hear from you later. Okay, thank you. Bye. And so she's going to do her research, she said, and she would let me know. And she gave me a call that afternoon and she said, okay, I'm sending you over a recipe for, or a prescription, not a recipe.
Yeah, that's what you're saying, Dutch. It's
Yeah.
okay. Yeah.
So we have a prescription for 5 milligrams of diazepam. Mind you, I just had been thrown to the floor because I was on 125, right? I wasn't on 1 milligram of lorazepam. I was on 125 and I was definitely not adjusted yet. So I went from 125 lorazepam to 5 milligrams of diazepam, and that it just kept me, going. I was so ill. I was so ill, but I thought,
Kept you alive, but other than
yeah,
that.
other than that was I was breathing. That was it. I was really
Yeah.
walking as if I needed a walker, like, if you're 85 and you're completely bent over and you can just take very little steps to move forward. This is how I went to the toilet. I walked on my mother's arm that way. I went to the psychiatrist at some point because you have to go there. So you know what that's like if you're so messed up. It's terrible. And I,
But how did your crossover go? How did your crossover go? How long did it take?
just one
And
day.
how did you do that? Oh, you switched over.
No
No
crossover.
crossover.
The
Okay.
diazepam came and I skipped the Ativan and I took the diazepam and so this is where you can see that I was not informed enough, but I was so eager to continue and to get into the right situation. And I had expectation that I would feel better and I didn't. But it took me 3 weeks and then I felt better. You know, then I was okay. It took me just some time to adjust to the diazepam, and also it was a reduction. So I must say that I was lucky because it took me about 3 weeks, and then I cannot say I felt normal. I mean, hadn't been normal in 6 months already, right? So I was just happy that there was some sort of peace in my body. There were no.
Well, perhaps you can elaborate. Maybe those 3 weeks were your acute withdrawal, or maybe that lasted even before that, and maybe you kind of stabilized, or it's kind of a theme. Maybe you were functional
Yeah, so
afterwards.
I wasn't, I cannot say I was totally functional. I was still laying down on the couch. I had no energy, but I felt calm. That is very important. I was not depressed. I was not anxious. I could think, you know, I could exist. I could eat. I was probably also not having diarrhea anymore. I was able to walk around a little bit. And that for me was, I considered that functional at that time. I mean, I wasn't able to go to work or to take any responsibility for anything. But it was so much better than all the suffering that I had since sort of October 2016 until then, like it was June, July 2017. It was kind of like peaceful. I tell you, I was not depressed. This was heaven for me. I don't know if you ever felt like real depression, but I think that is for me. I'd rather have a panic attack and then go back to my life than have depression. It is so killing. It just sucks out all the life and all the light and all the goodness out of anything. So the fact that I wasn't depressed just made me feel grateful. I wasn't able to really do
Yes.
anything else, but I was not depressed, and thank God for that.
Yeah, very lucky that you weren't depressed. I was for a considerable amount of time. I was, but I chose not to take antidepressants or
Good for
whatever. I
you.
accepted the depression. Yeah, I know, right? So you are on the 5 milligrams of diazepam. How does that taper go? How long does it take you?
Yeah,
What are your
so there
symptoms?
I'm still like optimistic. I'm thinking, I read the Ashton manual twice now. I can taper 10%. So we taper half a milligram. So I cut down half a milligram, throw that off, and bam, I'm back. I'm back again at zero, again to the floor. I'm a dead bird on the couch or in my bed, and I'm so discouraged. I'm so discouraged because I could feel then I was about 49 kilograms then. I was really very skinny, very weak. My muscles were deteriorating. I could see that I couldn't do that for another 9 times. Like the effect of throwing off half a milligram, which I considered really the smallest cut, like a quarter of a 2 milligram Valium, is the max that you can sort of eyeball correctly. I would still say it's not correct, but you know, you kind of feel like you know what you're doing still. So I was very discouraged, was on benzo buddies. I found there a wonderful person to be my friend and benzo sister. She's an amazing psychologist from she's working in the States, and we started talking, and she and I, you know, came to the conclusion that I needed to do a micro taper, that it was impossible for my body to take a bigger step. And we designed a micro taper to go around 1 milligram a month. She was tapering clonazepam, by the way. So we had a different taper, but we were both suffering a lot. And it was comforting for me, to be honest. If anybody goes through this and you can find somebody else going through this and you have a good connection, you don't affect each other negatively, take that in mind, then it's very valuable. And it's, we are still friends. I think for four or five years, we talked daily, even after our taper. And right now we're both really too busy to do that, but we're very close. And so anyway, my micro taper starts there. I am on four and a half milligrams of Valium. And I need to start scratching this tablet. I can tell you, this was an ordeal.
You mean filing?
Yeah.
Filing and
nail fail,
whatnot, or just...
Yeah, okay. I have a scale and a nail fail, and I need to take off 3 milligrams of the pill. I'm so scared, because now all I can think of is all the time that I get punched to the floor. Like the response the next day was always so huge. It was so scary for me at that time to just even scratch the pill. I thought this was not a good idea. This is not going to be all right. But it was. Like, it took me an hour to scratch that first pill, to fail the first pill and to make it into the right weight. But yeah, I did it. And this is where it starts. And you know what? I'm now working with people tapering. And this first pill that you start to measure and that you start to make your dose from, it's very scary for people. And the reason is not because it's so scary, but because you get so much trauma from all the attempts before, and you can't think straight. You're still in this very influenced state of mind where you're just fearful. You're in withdrawal. You can't think straight, and you think the whole world is going to explode if you make one little mistake. So it's a very difficult job.
But microtaping worked for you, and how long does it take you to go from the 4.5 milligrams of diazepam/Valium to the zero? Do you remember how long that took you?
So in the end, I've tapered 8 months. So I start my taper in July, and I ended in December, at the end of December. My last bit goes off. I've tried to do that as organically as possible. I've been tapering daily, 3, 4, or 2 milligrams of the weight of the pill, depending on how I felt. And sometimes I had a hold. At the end, I felt very brave and enthusiastic. I thought I can do 5. This was a big mistake. So the last half a milligram, I started to be a little bit impatient, and I thought I could do a little bit faster maybe, but this was not the case. So then I went slower. So it took me actually maybe even a couple of weeks longer, because I went to 1 milligram of the weight of the pill. And I just tapered all the way through. This is also something that I don't understand really so much about in the benzo community. People talk about the jump, and they jump when they're at 5 or when they're... I'm saying 5, but it's like, for example, half a milligram,
0.5.
They think, okay, I'm going to jump. Or they're at 0.25. And I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? You take every day to create a micro taper and to be very careful. Why do you feel like you cannot make it to the end? Because there are a couple of ways, not hundreds of ways. There are really good ways. You can just taper till the end. Be kind to yourself till the end. I did that. I had a couple of bad days afterwards. I could feel that something had changed. I really slipped out of my taper in the way that I was in my taper. There was no horror of coming off. There was no extra symptoms. It was fine. Yeah.
That's really lucky. So you recover from your benzodiazepine ordeal. And how does one get to become a taper coach? What inspired you to do this?
Yeah, so what actually happened, so I'm on this forum in the Netherlands called Benzo de Baas. I talk to people daily there, and I can see that once I get it, which is really within 2 weeks, I can see that I get it. At first, I'm writing messages like, oh my guy, oh my God, what the F is going on? I'm so scared. Help me, save me. Who is coming for me? You know, it's crazy. Like you see the panic in my messages. It's like screaming. And then after 2 weeks, I'm saying, guys, we're going to be fine. We're going to get through this. This is just nerve damage that can heal. It's just a matter of the chemistry in our body, and our body will adjust. Don't worry. And I'm starting to support everybody with the knowledge that I gain by reading about this topic. And I have great confidence somehow, where I really connect to the idea that all you have to do is put your mind to it. You have to focus on the end result. You have to focus on where you really want to go and just neglect whatever is going to come your way. Just don't give in. Just we have to work safely, yes. But then, like, your goal is to come off. You're suffering as long as you're on, you need to come off. And, yeah, this is how it started. So even when I was ill, I was already supporting. So my benzo sister that I told you about, she was, I would say, much more mentally and emotionally debilitated than I was during this time. And I could support her all the time. I was calm, I was confident. She would ask me daily, am I going to survive this? Am I going to get better? Am I going to heal? Oh, please, Liz, tell me about it. And I would just give her this reassurance, and I would tell her, we're going to get through this. Don't worry about it. You can call me later. Just call me again. When you need it, you call me again. And this is how we did it. And then other people followed. So I started to talk to another person, and I talked to another person, and I would sort of walk them through the procedure. And once I was off the benzo in the first year, I saw a guy online. I think he was sort of my first client, even though I didn't charge him for anything. But I told him, I'm going to be a benzo coach. The idea started to grow. My benzo sister is a psychologist, so she said, Liz, you have such wonderful skills. Nobody can teach you that. This is like, even if you would go to study to be a psychologist, the skills that you need to be a psychologist are already with you. So, just go for it. She encouraged me a lot. And so I thought, I'm gonna have a test run with somebody. And so I saw somebody on Facebook suffering, and I asked him if he wanted my support, if he wanted. And he said, oh, yes, thank you. And he started to call me a couple of times a week, randomly, maybe sometimes a couple of times a day. Like every week he would have a peak of panic and then come down again, because like every couple of days he wouldn't sleep. This is where the panic would hit him. He is a father of two children, and he was all the time thinking that he was, going to die and have to say goodbye to his family and to his kids. And he had problems with his parents, because his parents were trying to encourage him to work on his OCD. This is what they thought. Like he had a past where he had some symptoms of OCD behavior. And so they were just thinking, like, you're so obsessed with this medication guy. You have to stop this. You cannot be so obsessed with the medication. And so, like, 3 a.m. in the morning for the Netherlands, for Dutch time, I was in a phone call with his parents, explaining them all that I knew about benzodiazepines and what it does in the body and what it does with the receptors. And he also went through probably something that I went through with tachyphylaxis. He was by that time on four different psych meds, like Seroquel and lithium and the citalopram that I was on before. I think he was on that too. Like they gave him this antihistamine, Remeron, probably something like it was just a whole cocktail. And I just
They're really polydrugged.
completely, severely
Okay,
polydrugged. And I
okay.
just
So
explained.
this is like your test run with someone, and then you really set up being a taper coach.
Yes.
How did that go for you?
Well, you have to Understand that my health was also definitely very much declined. I was maybe 40% capable of living my life. So I had to take it very, very slowly. I was hardly able to make a walk of an I wasn't able to make a walk of an hour. I had to sit somewhere, like I would take a little walk to the park. I had to sit and rest, then walk back, then sit and rest. So everything went really slow. So I wanted to do a coaching education, and had to deal with the Dutch authorities, like the job agencies that push you to work, because of course they don't want to pay these services forever. Like there's these, how do you call that in English?
You mean
Yeah,
welfare
something like
or
that. Yeah,
unemployment?
unemployment.
Yeah, social services. Yeah, and I think it's an international problem still that we don't get recognition for being harmed by benzodiazepines. As you know, they're working on BIND, but it's not a thing yet. And even if it becomes a thing, we'll probably have to persuade and convince others what's happened to
Definitely.
us. So you, I totally understand that you felt some sort of pressure coming, and you found your calling. And going towards you being a taper coach, so I'm just presuming here that it's just not only benzos, maybe
Yes.
antipsychotics, antidepressants, whatever someone can get, you are able to help them with
Yes,
that.
exactly. So I studied a lot of the withdrawal symptoms from antidepressants and from opiates as well. The antipsychotics. And yeah, altogether, they are all working on the nervous system. They're all kind of psych meds, and they all create a horrible withdrawal in the nervous system and horrible damage in the nervous system. So, in the end, everybody has to talk to their physicians. This is like legally, I am not allowed to give anybody medical advice, sort of like my words have no meaning other than to inform people. So I'm trying to inform them and educate them, and then they have to make the decision in what is good for them. And besides that, so it's not only about how you're going to do it, but how are you going to cope? What is your mind doing when you're going through withdrawal? Where is it that you want to go to? How can you soften the withdrawal symptoms? What is a safe choice for you? And if you are a mom of a couple of children, this is a very big problem, sort of. You are a wife, you are a mother, you are a daughter. Fathers also. So as I said, this first test client, he was a father. Like the pain that it causes for people to not be able to show up for their kids is unbelievably. It's so hard. And people lose everything. Like you lose your dignity, you lose the trust in yourself, you lose the confidence that you used to have to live your life, you lose your spouse, your friend, your boyfriend. You lose lots of relationships in this process. And I think this is where I am really good. Like I'm a really, if I say so myself, sort of like a kind and warm and gentle person. I can really hold a lot of space for someone and always be confident that things will work out good again. This is somehow my superpower, that I knew that if you keep your eyes focused on where you have to go, you will get there. And you know what? The nicest story I've told probably all my clients, when I started to feel better, just before I started to taper the lorazepam, I had no idea what was ahead of me. And I had my sort of boyfriend at the time, he said that I wasn't living with him anymore. I was living with my parents. He couldn't bear to be around me because I was suffering so much. But he was so proud of me in the days that I felt better. I was on the Effexor. I was ready to taper the lorazepam. And he said, "You are absolutely a hero." And I didn't feel like a hero whatsoever. But his words stuck with me. And when I started to learn about the benzodiazepine and what I was facing, then I realized, okay, maybe I didn't feel like a hero, but I definitely have to become a hero. I have to be my own hero. And I've shared this with many of my clients to say, sorry, but nobody is going to come to save you from this. The only way is straight through. You can use as much wisdom as you can and as much skills as you can, but you have to do this yourself. And you have to somehow strap on your Superman cape and you have to be this person for yourself. You cannot lean on medication. You cannot go to the doctor and say, give me an antidepressant. You cannot go to the doctor and ask for more pills because this is going to be your next trap. So you have to be a hero. And I got that in my mind so clearly. This is one of these things that I think was the difference for me in how I could go through this process and that I still somehow hold strongly for other people. So if they don't have the faith in themselves anymore, I tell them I have faith for two. Don't worry about it. I'm not gonna let you fall. I promise you, I will not let you fall. We're going to get through this.
Cool, cool. So to wrap it up, what I always ask my guests, for the people currently listening to this in withdrawal, is there anything that you would like to say to the audience?
Yeah, definitely. So first of all, I really have so much compassion and love for all of them. I think it is such a brave journey to go through, and we don't want to choose it consciously, but somehow we've chosen this path in life and face this, and something good will come out of this, first of all. It doesn't sound like this. This is a horrible cliche, but in this case, I've been there. I've seen it now so many times, hundreds of times. Something good can really come out of this. And all you have to do is believe that you can come to the other side because the goodness is on the other side. So that's like what you need to aim for. And the second thing is try not to believe every story that you read as a fact. It is, you know, the thing that I want to say is there is a lot of suffering, but stick to your own. Stick to your own story. Don't think that if somebody has tinnitus that you will get it too. If somebody has heart palpitations, you will get it too. If somebody has stiff muscles and pain for 3 years, you will get it too. It's not true. This is not how it works. And you have to be completely aware of your own journey and have this faith for your own journey. So if you feel like listening to stories of other people give you power and comfort and confidence, listen to it all the time. If it creates fear, please stop listening. Just stop reading the things that make you fearful because all that is extra tension in your nervous system. So whatever other people do, do what's good for you. This is very important. Maybe another tip is also there's a lot of fear of supplements. I think you have to be careful. Yes, you have to be careful with supplements, but some of them can also be perfect for you. And I think that we cut ourselves short by thinking that all supplements can be really dangerous. The reason why Heather Ashton writes in her Superwoman manual for benzodiazepine taper that we shouldn't use it is because back then in the 80s, there was no research on supplements. And she just, as a doctor, didn't consider it a medicine for your body. She didn't consider it a proven technology. And this is why she wrote, don't think about supplements. This is not your thing. She would advise to take an SSRI if you have a depression, or, you know, she writes about some help like a beta blocker, a heart medication. If you have heart palpitations, she thinks that's a good idea. We have grown into understanding that that is not always a really good idea. And we should also reconsider not taking any supplements ever. So I'm not saying you should take it. I'm not saying everything is safe. I'm just saying go check for yourself. Be very careful and check what your body really needs. I have taken supplements all through my taper. I cut out a lot, first of all, but then later I introduced a couple of them. So there is a probiotic that can be really helpful, like omega-3 can be really helpful. They're just like basic things. Like you will also not say you have to stop eating because in all the food is what's also in the supplements. Nobody tells you to do that. So this is the basic couple of things I would really love the community to know. And just yeah, I cannot make it go away, but me as a taper coach, all I can do is hold space, teach you coping skills. I have some energy medicine, I would say. Like I work with EFT and I work with MAP. They work on the subconscious mind. This is where a lot of suffering comes from as well. So I can do a lot to make this process go a little bit better. And that's all I want, you know, that people get through this, that they don't throw themselves before the bus or off the roof. We just need to get through this, and then I promise you, we'll get better.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth, and thanks for your time.
You're so welcome.
Speak to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the episode. Be well, be safe. Remember, it's not a race, and don't forget to subscribe and rate the show.